This podcast examines how every experience, every situation, every moment is an opportunity to work with our mind. I'm your host, Caitlin Hatch, creative polymath and dedicated consumer of Dharma talks, Dharma books, self-help books, and just generally the wisdom of others. I believe in the importance of showing gratitude, and the greatest way for me to do that is to share the tools, tips, and teachings of others that I've found immensely beneficial, which is why I started this podcast. My intention is to provide tools, ideas, and contemplations to benefit anyone who wants to listen, because life is workable and totally awesome. So on Monday, it was Thanksgiving in Canada. Living in the UK, I don't get the celebration that I'm used to. First of all, it's not a day off work. That's going to sound so ironic in the context of this episode. But really, seriously, for me, Thanksgiving is wonderful because it's the time that I get to spend with my family. It's a day off, we get to hang out together. And as it is, living 4,000 miles away from them, I've found that my new tradition is to genuinely pause and consider what it is that I am grateful on that day. I really spend time thinking about it, especially because I live so far away from the people that I love the most. Which brings me to the theme of today's episode, which is gratitude. In the West, we have become increasingly ungrateful. We don't appreciate the things that we have, which make our lives pretty damn awesome, quite frankly. And I'm not excluding myself when I say this. In fact, ironically, for this particular episode, the microphone that I bought to record my podcasts isn't working. It's acting up, and I was starting to get irritated, and now I'm going with the computer to record it, which means the sound quality might not be great. But really, it's not that big of a problem. I'm going to get to that. I'm already digressing as I do. Anyway. We all do this thing where we kind of come across as ungrateful, even though we don't mean it necessarily, we don't mean to sound ungrateful, but when we bring our awareness to it, which is something that I aspire to do every day, we can notice just how often the sense of entitlement we have will creep into the things we say and how we act. So what do I mean when I say entitled? What was I getting at when I'm talking about my microphone not working and getting kind of irked by that? Well, first world problems. That's what I'm getting at. I don't know how many of you are familiar with them. I assume probably most of you are. It's these memes that are online. So it's like, it's a photo. It's calling out first world problems. It'll have a picture of a woman and she's crying and she's got her hand to her face. It's all very dramatic. And it'll be captioned with words like, made myself a bowl of cereal, then I realized there's no milk, or my smartphone battery is nearly dead, I left my charger at home. They are quite funny, and generally they help us to laugh at what are pretty insignificant problems, if you can even call them problems at all, in fact. Having a sense of humor about life is really beneficial, and I find the practice of first world probleming myself, yes, I totally just verbed that, really helps remind me that I have so much to be grateful for. And so I want to introduce a wonderful practice that I love to use to remind myself to be grateful, to appreciate that most of the problems any of us face on a day-to-day basis are pretty lightweight. But before I get into that, a quick aside. With this episode, I am not saying that Westerners don't have legitimate concerns. I'm not saying that life doesn't hurt and really suck sometimes. And I'm not saying that just because someone else's situation is worse than yours that you should suck it up. That's crap. Our problems are our problems, and hard is hard. Hard is not relative. I don't want to imply that we don't face legitimate difficulties, because we totally do. I'm just saying that this is a great tool to give us some perspective, because there are genuine, legitimate difficulties in any human life, regardless of class or status or whatever privileges we may have, but appreciating and being able to discern what an actual challenge is versus what's really not that big of a deal helps a lot. So, first world problems as a practice. I have two approaches. One is just make up my own. It's like a game. I just think about them in the context of the society that we live in, and I examine some common societal complaint and see how it's really a first world problem. And it's quite fun, really, it is. Like, think of something that's a total bonus or advantage, like a circumstance that you can turn into an example of a first world problem. Like, I don't know, smartphones, right? They're a great place to start. A smartphone is effectively a computer in your pocket. We barely even use them as phones anymore. They're video game consoles, chat devices, stereos, web browsers, all wrapped up into one. But then, say you crack the screen on one. Your phone still works, but first world problem, my ridiculously expensive, not really necessary smartphone has a cracked screen. It works, but my fingers keep getting snagged on the cracks. It's totally a first world problem. One first world problem that I'm particularly proud of that I thought of a few months ago was, I may live into my 80s. Oh no, I'll end up with gray hair and wrinkles. Think about it. We're terrified of the aging process, and yet we're living longer than ever, which is meant to be a bonus, isn't it? The average lifespan in the first world is increasing all the time. And yet we complain about, well, something totally normal and inevitable if we don't die young. When we complain about things like gray hair and wrinkles, we're effectively complaining that we get to have a long life. I mean, wow, let's be grateful for the fact that we have access to clean water, an abundance of healthy food choices, excellent medical care, a level of education that allows us to understand how to take care of our bodies. So, I don't know, I look at the world around me and notice that complaining about getting old is totally a first world problem. I mean, we either get to get old or we don't. Last time I checked, most people aren't too keen on the alternative. The other way that I use this as a practice is really, really personal. I already did it twice in this episode. I simply call myself out on my first world problem whinge bag moments. Like, say I'm on a video chat with my fiancé, having a good old whinge about how the Wi-Fi connection isn't really that good. And I can get 2 minutes into this kind of bleh, and suddenly I'll clock what I'm saying. Wait, what? I'm complaining about Wi-Fi? I'm complaining about the slow connectivity of free video phone? I'm complaining about the quality of a conversation that I'm able to have with someone who's on the other side of the planet? Oh my goodness, first world problem. Or, like, I love nectarines, right? They're one of my favorite fruits ever. But getting a really properly ripe one is so difficult these days. They have such a short season, and there's a very tiny window when I can get an amazing, proper-tasting nectarine rather than a rock-hard one that goes off before it ripens, or an artificially ripened one that's just way too tart or gross and watery. OMG. Did I seriously just go into a rant about getting a fruit that doesn't even naturally grow in the country that I'm living in? Oh my goodness. I totally did. First world problem. In fact, having clocked that one, that's one that I did for a long time. And the result is that I try not to eat fruit and veg out of season these days, to remind myself to be grateful for the abundance that we have and to not slip into an entitled mindset around the availability of food. The thing that I love about first world problems as a practice is that it's quite lighthearted. But it's also very humbling. It totally makes me stop and appreciate the abundance, the opportunity and the choices that I have available to me. And it also helps me to laugh at myself. Like, I laugh at how I can get really uptight about something that's not really a problem. To be humble is to not be arrogant or entitled. This humbling of the self goes a long way to developing a sense of gratitude. And really, most of us have so much to be grateful for. Seriously, it's great for giving us perspective. By doing this practice, it helps with priorities. when I'm humble about the very privileged advantages that I have, I also appreciate when something is genuinely difficult. And it makes it easier for me to handle those difficulties because my bar isn't set so low that something like not having cream on a Sunday morning to put in my tea when I'm up at 6 and the shops don't open until 10 isn't absolutely devastating. By first world probleming ourselves, we can see how we have a choice. We can choose to be irritated or upset about something like the local supermarket running out of the particular brand of hot sauce we like best, or our favorite jumper being shrunk in the wash. Or we could choose to laugh a little at our demanding expectations when we have so much and go, oh, no big deal, you know? Stuff happens. If something like a dent in a car upsets us, or, I don't know, if a snail eats something that we spent a long time growing, how are we going to cope with something that's genuinely challenging? Like an ill relative, or if we're made redundant, or if we find out that we've got an illness, one that might be, you know, affect us for the rest of our lives or possibly even be terminal. Effectively, this is a practice of learning how to say no big deal to things that really are no big deal. By cultivating gratitude, we can see what's really important, what the most important things are. The more we do this practice, the more we can see that holding on to stuff, to things going a particular way, to items being just so, to situations being just so, we just cause ourselves a lot of unnecessary grief. So, I want to invite you, in honor of Canadian Thanksgiving, just passed, to first world problem yourself, with humor and with gentleness. This isn't about beating ourselves up. It's simply about noticing, laughing about it, and learning to see that a lot of our daily complaints, there's something to be grateful for in what we're complaining about, actually, and not really a problem at all. Thank you so much for listening to Everything is Workable. My content will always be free, but if you'd like to help make it even better, you can become a patron by clicking the green button at the top of the page. I'm always looking for content suggestions and people to interview. If you've got any ideas or would like to contribute, you can get in touch through my website, www.faunawolfcreations.com. That's faunawolfcreations.com. Thank you to the very talented Dexter Britton for sharing his music with the world. The music used in this podcast is from his Creative Commons Volume 5 album, available on www.dexterbritton.co.uk.